All right, we're going to briefly go this evening, because we have so many good testimonies, continue on in our study of 100 truths about Jesus, and this is installment number 28, and we are on number 77, and if you'll have your Bibles and turn them to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, Ephesians 4:21. And this truth that we're studying is that truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 21. We read this. It says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or behavior the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." We know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by him. The truth is in Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. We know that as we study him, we study his teachings, we study the New Testament, we study all the prophecies about him, that you can build your life on those teachings and those truths. It's a blessing to know that the truth is there. But you need to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior first. Many people I've talked to say that they read the Bible ahead of time, they even read the New Testament, it doesn't make sense to them. But when they come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, then things begin to fall together. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14, following along this same line. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And then it says, "Full of grace and truth." The Apostle Paul says that it was his goal to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship with his suffering. To know Jesus Christ is to know truth. Spend your life trying to get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, follow him, and learn from him. Turn with me to John chapter 18 and verse 37 now. John chapter 18, and in verse 37, "A Pilate therefore said unto him," and backing up, let's look at verse 36, it says, "And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore saith unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is in the truth heareth my voice." And then you see the lostness of Pilate. And it's like the lostness of many people as you try and talk to them, as you try and witness to them. Don't quit, because as Frank was telling in his testimony, you testify, you plant the seed. But Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" Man, we live in a society that is filled full of relativism. What they say is fact today could very well change tomorrow. Truth fluctuates in our culture and, in fact, in the world, much like the stock market. One day it's up, one day it's down, one day it's here, one day it's there. But the fact is, you can't build your life on relative things. You need an anchor, and Jesus is the anchor that'll keep your soul. Pilate said, "What is truth?" And then, very interestingly, it says, "And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said unto them, And what an oxymoronic statement. I find no fault at all. I find in Him no fault at all. And when you look at a little bit later, the parallel passage, so He says, go take Him and crucify Him. He didn't find any fault, but if you want to kill Him, kill Him. Pilate had no compass for truth. I talked to you about a moral compass. One of the reasons that God has blessed this nation in Colleen's testimony, to a lesser degree now than it used to be, but to a lesser degree, there was absolutes in our culture. There was absolutes of right and wrong, a fair measure, a fair weight. And when you were to buy six things, you should get six things. And people, it was a standard to be able. Why? Where did all that stuff come from? It came from the absolute truth of the Scriptures. People considered that there was some things that were right and some things that were wrong. And it wasn't that they all got together. Do you realize how much of a mess democracy can be? Now, you're going to say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Well, see, I don't believe that the United States is a democracy. I believe the United States is a republic. It's one nation under God. A democracy, you decide what is right based on majority vote. That's what democracy is. And more in our culture, that's where we're headed. Now, you might think that's okay. That's okay as long as people who have their moral compass set according to the Scripture, we might enjoy that. But what happens when the tide shifts? And the tide is shifting, friends. And if they start deciding so many things on the basis of the shifting of the tide, when those things contrary to the moral truths of the Bible get voted in, it says, when the righteous are in authority, and it's talking about righteousness according to the Word of God, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the righteous aren't in authority and the unrighteous are in authority, you know what happens? The people mourn. And it's very, very interesting to see how things like worked in communism when we went over there in East Germany, and it truly was. When you cross from one side to the other, it seemed like there was a 40-year time change, didn't it, Pastor? 40-year time change. You go from things quite modern, you go back, you thought you were in a time machine. You thought you were in a time warp when we crossed what used to be the East German border there. When Linda and I were in Haiti, everything was done by bribes. And when you don't have people that have the ethical mooring of the Scripture, you know what they want to do what's right? They want money. They want you to pay them. That's so true in many countries, many former communist countries, many countries that are dictatorial. They are only going to do what the law says if you put money in their hand. And tragically, in many of the cities around the country, many of the inner cities around the country, including Milwaukee, that's the way things are beginning to work. Why? Because we've gotten away from, because people have gotten away from the morals of and the teaching of the New Testament Scriptures and the Old Testament Scriptures that lay down biblical laws. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. There's an old saying we learned in, see if I can get it right, if we learned in college that the Old Testament is the new concealed and the New Testament is the old revealed. Paul says all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might, by patience, have hope. And so we can get principles out of the Old Testament we should apply. We should get principles out of the New Testament we should supply, that we should apply to our lives as well. Jesus Christ is the great revealer of truth. And thank the Lord, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have a resident teacher, and that is who? The Holy Spirit. And we can understand these things. We can apply these things to our lives. So, Jesus is, the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Now let's look at number 78. The fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. The fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11. We'll be preaching about this, and because we're going through the book of Philippians, but we'll give you a little preview of this. It says, being filled, Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits, plural, of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. Now, you have to decide what fruits are here. And I believe that in this context that fruits are right actions, right works, right words, and right behavior. The fruits of righteousness come through Jesus Christ. Nobody can earn salvation by doing good works. Because before we're saved, even our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. However, when we come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, as we just mentioned, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you are no longer the same old person. And to that I say, amen! And what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to have right actions, right works, right words, and right behavior. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, 21 and 22. In Romans chapter 6, and in verse 21 and 22, we're going to back up to verse 17. It's hard to know where to jump into Romans chapter 6. But it says in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of sound doctrine which was delivered unto you. In other words, you believe the truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it says, being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. It says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, you know, iniquity heaped upon iniquity, you've served sin and sin and sin. Even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. And then it says in verse 20, it says, for when ye were the servant of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Your life was marred by one sin after another sin. There was all kinds of sin. There was sins in your actions and sins in your deeds and sin in your words and sin in your behavior. But it says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? In other words, what lasting value did any of those sins yield you? Before you're saved, when you're living in sin, what lasting value do those sins have? If you lived a lifestyle of drunkenness, is there anything of lasting value? Well, there's some lasting leftovers in relationship to the harm of your body, but that's not good for you. If you lived in pornography, what is that? If you lived in immorality, anything there? Nothing. Nothing of value. Nothing of value. I've said so many times, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will what? Will last. It says, for the end of those things is what? It says, death! The end of those things is death! And then, it says, and here's where we're going. This is really a blessing. It says, but now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto what? Holiness, and the end, everlasting life. That's interesting. It was a blessing to sit around the table, as often was the pattern of Linda and I, and we would read the Bible, and we would often read character-building stories, and we would talk about different things, and then Linda would share her testimony, and I would share my testimony. And if we didn't do that 100 times... we didn't do it once, over and over again. But you know the blessing? You know the blessing? Is one by one, our children came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And you know what's great about that? You know what's great about that? Fruit unto everlasting life. So one day I'm going to die. But I know Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But those seeds that Linda and I planted in our children that sprang up into eternal life, you know what? We'll get to see them for eternity. And so have a family devotional time. Tell your testimonies over and over again. Get them in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Talk to them about living for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the kind of thing that has lasting value. All that other stuff before you get saved, it's as the Apostle Paul said, I count it as dung. It's just manure. It's not worth anything. Those people you witness to. You know what? God is keeping the books. And that's why he tells us, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. You know what? A lot of you have served here at First Baptist Church. And there's probably some of you who've never been thanked from the pulpit, probably never been thanked by anybody else. But you know what? God sees what you've done for the cause of Christ. A lot of you are prayer warriors. Praise God. Probably nobody even knows that. But you know who knows? God. And you know what? That has lasting value. Do you know why? Because it talks about the prayers being a sweet aroma before God. And then when you've wept over the lost or wept over somebody's sin, you know, it talks about our tears being in a bottle. I don't know whether that's literal or not. But God notes those things because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who is compassionate. And he knows us. And God has ordained that once we're saved, that when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that counts for something and that lasts for eternity. And I believe that that's the fruits of righteousness that's being talked about, as we mentioned here in that. Now, I also mentioned it's not just right actions and right works and right words and right behavior. But I believe that it's right thinking as well, because a most common verse, now it's not in the plural, in Philippians 1 verse 11, it's the fruits of righteousness. But now in Galatians 5:22, flip over there. But I think that it's these things as well that comes by the Lord Jesus Christ, fruits of righteousness. It's fruits that relate to our behavior. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, or that self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections or the desires and lusts. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. That's foolish praise. Provoking one another and envying one another. You know, all the... I can say this because Pastor Darrell and I have been friends for years, and some of the reasons we didn't like going to pastors' meetings was that it was always seemed to degenerate into a my dog's bigger than your dog thing. Isn't that right, Pastor? It's, you know, oh, how's it going? It is just great. We had a bazillion and a half people saved, you know, in the past 3 weeks. Now, I'm exaggerating about that, and then 3 weeks down the road, you hear the church split. Yeah, it was really going great. And you know, if you're going to glory, you know what glory means? If you're going to brag, let us glory in the Lord. Getting into the my dog's bigger than your dog thing serves no profit. You know what? Pastoring a church is just a plain old consistency and keeping on. Certainly there have been highs, but certainly there have been lows. And certainly there are blessings, But I can tell you there are major burdens. And so we just need to, if we're going to glory, let's glory in the Lord. Let's not be weary in well-doing, because at the right time, on God's timing, we're going to reap if we don't give up. If you're discouraged, if you're down as a Christian, I didn't appreciate the man as much as many people did, but one of the things that I did appreciate about a fellow to the south of us in Hammond, Indiana, for years when he was alive, is I went to one time to learn about soul winning, and one of the things that he said, you need to go home and cut quit out of your dictionary. He said that Christians should not quit. I don't know if you remember him, but one time a number of years ago, if you've been around here a long time, at the time he was pastoring in some Sun Prairie. How many of you remember Doug Lowry? All right, three of you, four of you. Pastor Lowry wrote a song, Don't Quit, There's a Job to be Done. Don't quit, there's a race to be won. Don't quit, my brother, don't quit. And believe me, I've sung that to myself sometimes, because sometimes, I'm sorry, but I've become weary and well-doing and wanted to quit. But I'm glad for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to brag about what you've done. You just have to do it and be faithful. When somebody says thank you, that's just icing on the cake. Because we ought to be grateful, should we not? You ought to pray for the ones who are teaching your children. I hope that you'll take the opportunity to thank the choir for their singing. I hope you'll take the opportunity to thank Jolynn for the 20-some years that she's been playing the organ, and Nancy, the piano. I mean, I'm not saying don't thank people. I'm not saying that at all, because we ought to do that. But what I'm saying is that isn't the reason we serve the Lord. The reason we serve the Lord is because we love the Lord, and we're supposed to bring forth fruit of righteousness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we're supposed to do. It's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. God expects us to be faithful. Just to be faithful. Just to keep on keeping on. Not to quit. Just keep on keeping on. Oh, I know. A lot of us sometimes have our Jonah moments. You know? Oh, Lord! I knew they would repent and I wanted you to nuke them, you know? We sometimes have those moments. I understand that. But we need to repent of that spirit. Get back and get busy for the Lord. And we're going to stop here because there's a day when all of us are going to stand before the Bema Seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that's for? Well, it isn't for sin, because where was our sins as believers judged? The cross of Calvary. It's for rewards. And hopefully, we have more of the gold, silver, and precious stone works in our life and not the wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble works, well, they aren't going to stand the judgment. We aren't going to be able to have the rewards to cast at the Lord's feet that will be given us. But just be busy serving the Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him. Do right actions, right works, right words, and behave rightly, because I believe that's fruit unto righteousness, and that can only come to believers who are living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there this evening. I'd like to thank you for coming out on this evening. It's kind of a holiday evening.